Matthew chapter 8 as we continue in our study of understanding. Amen. We have found that the Lord has fed the 4,000 in verses 1 through 8, and the disciples collected what was left over. They were 7 basketfuls. What was unique about those 7 baskets? Who remembers? The size of them. Thanks, Vince. That's right. They were big enough to fit a man. They were huge. Amen. And then in verses 11 and 12, we find the Pharisees confronting the Lord, or the Lord confronting the Pharisees, whatever way you want to look at it. And then in verse 13, we find him leaving them, getting into the boat, and heading across the lake. And as they're crossing the lake, the Lord's taken opportunity to teach his men an important lesson. The Bible says in verse 15, and Jesus charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. The disciples were confused with this statement made by the Lord. We know that from verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf, and they didn't understand what he was talking about. They thought he was talking about physical bread instead of the spiritual bread. And so the Lord commences to teach them this great lesson. We saw in verse 15 the Lord's command. The Bible says that he charged them and he told them to take heed. He was talking about the importance of what he was about to state. He stated that they should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. So that charge was a strong command. It was a matter of seriousness. He wanted them to understand this great truth, but they didn't understand it. Why? Well, we're looking into why we don't understand sometimes the things that the Lord is trying to teach us, though they're there in black and white. And it's important that we study. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I just wonder how often or how much people really put into studying their Bibles, even though God tells us to. How often we're relying on everybody else to teach us instead of letting the Holy Spirit teach us. The importance of our walk with the Lord and any relationship with the Lord is going to come as you take responsibility for yourself to walk with the Lord. If your walk with the Lord is dependent on me, you're in sad shape. Don't do it. Hey, I'll encourage you. I'm not saying don't come to church. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we need to be here. It's part of God's ordination, if you would, that we are under the preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God. There is an element in our growth, in grace, found in the assembly of the saints. But if that's all you're getting is a meal once a week, you're starving. I bet you wouldn't go without a couple meals every day of the physical sense, the real bread. Am I right? Of course not. I don't know how much you eat every day, but you wouldn't deprive yourself. Nobody likes to fast. We don't like that. It's good every once in a while to fast, though. I would encourage you to try it. You'd see God do some mighty works in your life. But we're to be walking with the Lord. We're to take responsibility for our growth in the Lord. Now, let me ask you, do you depend on somebody else to develop your relationship with your spouse or your children? No, who's responsible, Miss Donna? Yes, Miss Donna said myself, herself, she's responsible. We're all responsible to develop relationships with other people. If you just come in and you just kind of, you know, never talk to anybody, and, you know, you have to talk and you have to communicate and you have to learn to talk to people and not only talk to people, but let people talk to you. Listen to people. Enjoy conversation with each other. That's part of God's plan is that we fellowship and enjoy each other. Amen? And but if you never did, if you just came in and just sat there, never said anything, what would people think? I don't know what you would think.
Well, they're not very friendly.
That would be what some people would say. I would say maybe people are just a little timid. You know, some people, they're afraid of saying anything because if they say something, they don't want to sound stupid, you know. But that's not going to be true. Not in this atmosphere. Not in this group. I don't believe that at all. At least I hope not. Then we looked at their confusion there in verse 16. They reasoned among themselves, saying it is because we had no bread. And we came to the conclusion that that's not at all why what the Lord was trying to say. So we come to verses 17 through 21. Let's read those this morning, verses 17 through 21. And then we're going to look at the Lord's challenge this morning, the Lord's challenge to his disciples here in verses 17 through 21. And when the Lord knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet hardened? Ooh, pretty strong statement. Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many basketfuls of fragments took ye up? And they said unto him, 12. They knew. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? How is it that ye do? Why is it that people don't understand? So we want to look at that and the Lord's challenge this morning. Let's pray and think about that thought. Father, help us this morning hear from you. Help us to realize the importance, Lord, of listening carefully, thinking about and taking heed. Lord, help our minds not to be distracted on other things. I know our lives are filled with so much that could distract us from learning of thee. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning to just sit complacently, Lord, at your feet and take in that which you'll teach us. Help us to understand. We pray in your name. Amen. Do you remember Jesus starting out trying to warn them about the evils of the Pharisees? Remember when he did that? And they totally missed the message and they focused on the physical bread. So it's in that sense that there's no difference than they're no different than the Pharisees that we saw in verse 11. Stop and think about it. Oh, but they're his disciples. Yeah, but they're not understanding. Now, in the case of the Pharisees, they refused to believe. They already had a preconceived idea of who Jesus was. And so they kind of were already against Jesus. And their plan was they were always trying to catch him in his words. They were always trying to get him to show that he was false, fake, and not who he really was. But in the case of the disciples, they were there on their own. They were there willingly, right? They were following the Lord. And he'd performed many miracles before them that a lot of the Pharisees never saw. I mean, they were always with him. They were always in his presence. And but yet they still didn't understand. They didn't understand. The disciples were there and not understanding. They couldn't understand and that he could take care of it. And there's a lot of people today, they still think they got to get their own hands and they have to manipulate life their own way so things are taken care of. Now, I'm not saying that we all just kind of sit back and don't do anything. Because we know at the same time, you know, the Bible says, like, you got to work if you want to eat. Okay? I once heard a story. This was years ago. I'm going way back into my infancy of as a Christian. And I wasn't even in the Baptist church yet. And this girl told me this story about another girl who got saved. And all she did was stay in church all the time. She just went to the church all the time and just stayed there. Now, that's not a bad thing. I mean, she just prayed all the time. But she was a young person that could have been doing other things too. And so by doing that, by missing the point, she should have been, getting married maybe, raising a family. Those are kind of good things for young women to do. But she went and just kind of hung out at church. Now, some people say, that's good. Look at Anna in the Bible. Yeah, how old was Anna? She was a widow too, okay? And so, although that's kind of good, I think she didn't understand that, there are other things that come into play as we walk with the Lord and do things. So life a lot of times is a balance, folks. We got to balance our jobs with our families with God. But how does God do that? Now, I did that kind of out of order. Somebody tell me what the right order would be. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then what? Then family. Then your job. God will take care of those things. So we got to make sure that we have everything in order in the right way and put God first. They didn't understand, I'm sorry. And they were worried, more importantly, about what? Their physical. How often do we worry about our physical? The Lord said, he said this, he said, God, the Father, knows even when a sparrow falls. So if the Lord knows even when a little sparrow falls, he says, won't he think so much more of you? Isn't he more concerned? What he's saying is, isn't he more concerned about you than a sparrow? In the whole scheme of things, God, I don't care what the world says, the animal lovers, and there's a whole bunch of them, they would put the animals over mankind, okay? But that's not how God does it, okay? God puts people over animals, all right? So let's get that priority right. I'm for animals. I love them. They can be fun, but they ought not to be a priority. Amen? As some people make today a priority. People just don't get things right. How is it that they didn't understand that Jesus could take care of this? What was it that was keeping them from understanding it? It was one thing for the unbelievers, the Pharisees, right? It was one thing for them. It was wholly another thing for those who know the Lord and claim the Lord to react or not understand like that, to fail to see his power and to believe that God can meet his needs. Shame on us for not trusting the Lord. A lot of times, a lot of things that come up in our lives are there for a purpose so that, and ultimately, everything that happens in our life, especially the bad things, are there on purpose for us to learn a lesson. What's the lesson? Who thinks they know what the lesson is that God would teach us in the difficult? It's always to live by what? Faith. Why? Without what? Faith, it is what? Impossible to what? Please God. And as believers, we're supposed to be believing God. But people don't live by faith. As soon as something happens, I hope not. But so many people are that way. They get fearful. Didn't they know that the Lord could take care of it? Hasn't he taken care of it in the past? As a believer, we should be experiencing God working in our life. There should be, if not daily, at least maybe weekly, answers to prayer and things happening. But a lot of times, our minds are preoccupied with other things. And we miss a lot of times the simple things that God is doing in our lives. He says every day, thank him for the food on your table and the roof over your head and the clothes on your back. I mean, you have it, but yet we take it for granted. We take it for granted until it's not there. I can remember the the October surprise and being without power for 2 weeks. I hated it. I was losing my Christianity. You say, not my pastor. Oh, yeah. It was getting old fast. It was a good thing. It was a good thing I had a hot water tank that wasn't electric. It was gas-powered because the gas wasn't out, just the electric. And I could still take a hot shower. I'm sorry, I need my creature comforts. Oh, back in those days? They probably weren't in a lot of cases. The creature comforts we enjoy today, I mean, and just dealing with not having be able to go and turn a light on and all that stuff. Well, we'll just see how mature we are in the Lord when those kind of things happen. It's the same true. When difficulties come into our life, how do we treat them? How do we respond to them? What way are we thinking about them? When something happens in your life, is it, oh no, I'm going to be, uncomfortable. I'm going to be, how do you respond? Or do you say, okay, Lord, why is this happening? Which would you think would be the better way of responding, or the way we should respond as believers? The second way, Lord, okay, I don't understand what's going on here, but I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to be fearful. You know, we all shake our heads now like, no, it's not going to. You wait till it happens. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when it lasts longer than a few hours or a day? And I'm not just talking about the electricity going out. I'm talking about what happens if our whole way of life, everything that we've come to assume is just the normal way of life, what happens if that changes? That could happen. I don't know what God has in store for America and our way of life. But I'll tell you what, if your faith is not firmly set in the Lord, you'll come apart. It will try you. It'll be a difficult thing. I was reading about Peter this morning in the book of Acts and how he got arrested by Herod. Herod was going to kill him the next morning. And the Bible says he was in jail between all these guards, and he was asleep. Herod said, Peter, you're dying in the morning. I'm going to cut your head off just like I did to James. I'm going to kill you. You're dead. Peter's cutting Z's in the prison. I think Peter was learning some lessons there. It wasn't that long before that. I don't know how long a time that was from the time that he was denying the Lord. And in the same reading, I read in the Gospels, he had denied the Lord this morning. So I saw that contrast. I saw in this one case, here's Peter, he's weak. Same thing with the apostles or the disciples here. They're weak. They don't understand. So where does understanding come from? I'll give you one word, experience. We start to learn from experience as it happens. But if we don't learn, we're destined to what? Repeat our behaviors. What do I call that? The devil's what? Merry-go-round. No, the devil's merry-go-round. Because you're just going to go around until you learn that lesson. God, I'm telling you, we get in this pattern, a holding pattern, because we haven't learned the lesson that God's trying to teach us. I think life is just a series of lessons that God is trying to teach us to grow us up into Him. How we're going to face those lessons. Are we going to mature in those lessons? Are we going to grow in grace? I believe that's why a lot of times, why wouldn't a person understand? Well, that's a simple way, but really it's because we're not thinking about it. We're not really concentrating on the things of the Lord and looking at every aspect of our daily life as a walk with Him. And that's what He's doing. He's trying to every moment of your life to get you to be walk in a conscious awareness of His presence in your life. That's what walking in the Spirit is to walk. The Bible's command is to what? Simply walk in the Spirit, right? Be led of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. I mean, they're all just a different term for the same thing, and that's being God-led, letting the Lord use you in a way, but walking with Him. I mean, I call up Vince on the phone. I said, Vince, come on over. I want to meet with you. So Vince comes over, you know, and, okay, preacher, what do you want? I just sit there and look at him. That's how we treat the Lord. We get up, we go start our daily routine, a lot of times without the Lord. We end our days without the Lord. How much of the Lord, I should say this, how much of the day does the Lord have of your life? Now, He understands that you have to work and you have to think about things and you got to raise children, ladies. God understands all that. But what God wants us to do is learn to depend on Him to do those things. I was never a father until I became one. But I was never trained either. Not a one of us was ever trained. We should be training our children how to grow up and be good parents. That's the job that we're given, but we don't do that very well. Most people don't. Most people don't even care about their kids anymore. These kids are just left to the system. They're just left to do whatever they want. There has to be, we have to pay attention to what's going on in their life, and because that's part of the responsibility that God's given us. He's given us the responsibility to raise our children. Can you do it? I don't know about you, but I couldn't. I said, help. That's what I said. And I said it in great desperation. Lord, help me to raise these kids. Because when I held my daughter, my first daughter, for the first time, I held that little baby, I cried my eyes out because I thought, you think she was helpless. I felt even helpless-er, more helpless. It's an adjective, adverbs, all that stuff. No, they don't, Miss Shirley. That's why we need God, because He knows how to do it. I'm concerned, really. As a pastor, I'm concerned for people when I see that kind of behavior. What kind of behavior? That kind of behavior where it just doesn't seem that God is coming first. That there's really like no, it's just it's kind of, we just kind of ad lib life. Life should be done on purpose. And it should be done with the purpose of glorifying God. And so every aspect of our life, there ought to be a demonstration of our faith and our trust in God in every aspect of our life. From coming to church to when we leave and we go home and we drive in our cars and when we raise our families and when we work and every aspect at the grocery store, every aspect of our lives ought to be in our walk with the Lord and our witness for the Lord. We're to be a testimony. We were left here on purpose, and that purpose was to glorify God. That purpose was to be a witness to God's grace in your life. We got to keep that in mind. You're not here to, and I'm going to be preaching on this, and I'm sorry if I kind of spill over into my next hour's message, but we're not here for our own pleasure, folks. But we live in a world that's hedonistic, and everything is about our own pleasure. And what the sad part is, we're constantly trying to be comfortable. We don't like an uncomfortable Christianity. And unfortunately, Christianity is uncomfortable. And it could get more, am I saying that right? Uncomfortable. We don't know what God has in store for the future. When Jesus senses His disciples' thought, He asks them a series of questions, questions that He's designed in their life, or He designed in their life to awaken their faith. These questions were designed to cause them to remember what the Lord had done. These questions are designed to remind us what the Lord is doing, can do, or has done. The problem is we forget so quickly what God has done. You ought to write down some of the things God's done in your life. That's why I tell you, right, have a journal. You know, have a prayer journal. That's why we make those prayer journals, so that you can take a little part in there and write down the prayer request that you have. And when it gets answered, hey, amen.
You say, well, a lot of my prayers aren't answered.
Whoa, that's a pretty scary place to be. Because as a believer, you should be getting answered prayers. Now, never mind. Okay, so let's look at some of these questions. The first question that Jesus asks is, he questions their memory. He says to them, didn't you see me feed the 5,000? Isn't that what he said? He said, didn't you see me feed the 4,000? Weren't you there? Oh, fellas, weren't you there? Now, I'm sure they were busy, yes. But don't you think that at some point, you know, here they are at some point. And I can tell we got teenagers. Drive me nuts. That's what garbage cans are for. All right. So here they are. And here's the Lord, right? And he's I don't know how he's doing it, but he's got these loaves. I don't know if he's got them in a basket or they're just kind of, I don't know. But every time one of those disciples came back, he was giving them more. Am I right? Because he fed 4,000 and he only had 7 loaves. He's saying to them, weren't you there? Didn't you see it? I mean, how many times did you come back? I'm sure that they didn't come back just once. How many times did you come back? Where were you? Where are we? Every time God does something in our life, we ought to be rejoicing. And you know, when they came back, when Peter came back and saw, but they forgot that. Was it that they were so busy that they didn't recognize what the miracle that was playing out right before them? Were they that busy? Why do we forget? Yes, sir. I agree with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why you have a good heart, Don, because I'm sure you're recognizing those miracles that God's doing in our life. What's that? You ought to. I think of my life in retrospect all the time and think all the stuff. I have just this, and that's what I want you to see, is that there's just this memorial all the way along in my life, that remembrance of what God has done. I remember being lost, chasing after all the things of the world. All the times I could have died and gone to hell. And there were a lot of times that could have happened because of the way, how stupid I was, you know. And that's why we need to be a little kind to people who are still out there lost in sin, because they don't understand. Pray for them. But how often do we pray for people? How often are we really, really, I mean, concerned about other people? We just get so caught up in our own lives, in our own little worlds, that we fail to really see the big picture, see what God's trying to do. Then he asked them specifically, how many baskets of fragments were left over in the two miracles? Not only did he didn't say, how many times did you come to me and get all the fish? He said, think about the leftovers. Think about everything that was left over. They were able to answer him. They remembered how many there was when he fed the 5,000. They said, look in the text, 12. He said, how many were left over from the 4,000? They said, 7. So what was it that caused them not to understand? At what point does the light come on? I love preaching from this perspective. Why? Because sometimes I can just see the light come on in people's eyes. I can see they get the truth that the Bible's trying to teach. I can see that they get it. And praise God, because that's what it's all about. Amen? The Pharisees had seen the miracles, yet they had it was not enough to convince them. And they refused to believe. They failed to understand who Jesus was and what he had come to do. Apparently, though, it was true of his disciples as well. They were living in unbelief. He said, is your heart still what? Hardened. You know, when we think about that, that's pretty scary, isn't it? What causes a person's heart to be hard? Their failure was because we don't fully appreciate. I'm sorry to say this, but we're a spoiled people. And we take for granted all the goodness of God. God has been so good to us. He's led us all the way. Let me tell you something. He's not going to quit leading you. He still loves you. But he's trying to get us to that point where we realize that everything we have, every ounce of life that we have, every physical possession, every emotional enjoyment, every joy, every pleasure, every heartache comes from him. Amen. He's got his finger on your heart. Amen. That's just how we are. That's how they were. They just were so caught up. We need to do what the Lord was trying to get his men to do. We need to take the time to reflect on what he's done and remember his power in our lives. And it can't be just when you're confronted with it from the pastor. It has to be something that happens on a regular basis. You need to, every day when you go before the Lord, have a time of thankfulness. Thank him for the things that happened the day before. Thank him for those things that are about to happen this day, whatever they might be. We need to start being thankful. I like what happened, how he did it in Israel's life. And after they had crossed into the promised land in Joshua 4, God told them to take the, what? Who remembers? The 12 stones. And they took the 12 stones out of the Jordan River. The Bible says that when he dried up the Jordan River, or held back the Jordan River, he then told Joshua to have 12 men take up fairly large stones, or maybe more men, but to take big stones, 12 of them, and put them on dry land on the other side of Jordan as a what? As a memorial, as a remembrance, so that every time they came by that way, they would see those stones, and the hope was that their children would ask, what are those stones doing? It would have been something really out of place. Can you imagine 12 big boulders piled up real high on this? I mean, anybody could have seen that it was not a natural thing, but something that somebody did. It was something that they piled up, this big pile of stones, and they would have asked, or they should have asked, or hopefully they would have asked, was, what does that mean? And then the parents would have that opportunity to tell their children of the goodness of God and how he delivered them into the promised land. Listen to what it says in Joshua 4, 21 and 22. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. One more opportunity just to show how great God is. One more opportunity in our hearts to rejoice at what God has done. That's what God wants us to do. Problem is, we just, most people don't take God very seriously. our walk with God is just kind of casual. You know, it's reserved for Sundays, maybe Wednesdays, but just we get out of here and our mind is on everything but God. When we get out of here, when we leave this place, that's when your mind should start focusing on God. Because in here, there's a sense of security. There's a safety here. There's the same mindset with everybody else. We don't have to put a guard up. We go out there, we put our guard up. But we need to go with God. God needs to be the guard, amen? He's the one that needs to lead us and take care of us. We need to stop and think about all the needs that God has met. We need to stop and remember how many prayers God has answered. We need to stop and think about the peace and the sense of His presence and the time He blessed us for no apparent reason. I don't know about you. I've been driving somewhere, going to a meeting or something, and it seems like God, at 65 miles an hour down the highway, opens up the passenger side and just kind of slips in. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. But I'll be listening to preaching or some Christian music on the radio, and it just seems like God just kind of slips into that car with you, and oh my, the Shekinah glory that just kind of shows up, and the peace of God. If you've never experienced that, I feel sorry for you, because I've had that time, and I'll just start to weep because just the goodness of God. What a blessing that is. Now, I'm not looking for you to go look for an experience. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is we need to have those times of remembrance. I sit back and I think, boy, God, I hope you do that again for me. I hope you just show up. Stop. Reflect. Remember. Realize all the things that God has done. Amen? Jesus doesn't want us to live our lives focused on earthly matters like bread. He wants us to focus our attention on Him and our relationship with Him, our love for Him, our appreciation for Him, our service for Him. That's what God wants us to do. We got to stop thinking about all those other things that are troubling us, all the concerns that we have, and we just got to focus on the Lord. You say, but I got to do things. Yeah. But do them with Jesus. Learn to walk with Jesus. Learn to draw near to the Lord every moment of every minute of every day. Don't miss what He has for us. Let's be children of understanding. Father, thank you for loving us. Bless us. Help us to understand. In Jesus' name. Amen.